Hi, and welcome to episode 114 of the Studio Insider Art Podcast, Finishing Difficult Paintings. Oh my goodness, I think we all have one or two or three faced against a wall or at the back of a cupboard, those difficult paintings that we just can't seem to face completing. I know that you know what I'm talking about. Well, I have some artist medicine for you today. In this month's episode, I'm walking you through 20 tips that I use in my own art practice to help me finish difficult paintings. All tips are super practical and down to earth, and I hope they'll really help you to find your flow with completing those tricky artworks. As with the past few episodes, the audio is taken from my latest YouTube video. So if you'd like to see me working on completing my own artwork, then be sure to pop on over and check out that video on YouTube. I'll be sure to leave the link in the show notes for you. And if you'd like to save these 20 tips for a rainy day when you really need them, then I've turned them into a downloadable PDF that you can also grab over on my website, susannethercottstudio.com/free-resources. I'll also leave the link to that in the show notes. And last but certainly not least, if you're listening to this episode before the 30th of June 2023, then you are in luck because I am offering 25% off all my e-courses and bundles until then. Again, I'll leave all the links in the show notes. And if you'd like to take advantage of this offer, remember it's only until the 30th of June 2023. Okay, now let's get on with these 20 delicious tips on how to finish difficult paintings. I'm Susan Nethercott, and this is the Studio Insider Art Podcast, where I open up about what it's really like to be a professional artist. Whether I'm having chats with my studio bestie Steph, interviewing inspiring creatives, or answering listener questions, there's something here for every established and emerging artist. My mission is that my journey will help you feel a bit more at home in your own. My first tip for how to approach finishing difficult paintings: don't be upset. It's really easy to beat up on yourself if you've got a painting that's just not cooperating very well. And look, it happens to all of us. And I think the thing to remember here is that all paintings have their own timeline. Some paintings flow really easily and really quickly, and some take a long time and drive you a bit crazy. And neither is better than the other. It's just like people, I guess. Some people will drive you nuts and others won't, but it doesn't mean one's better or worse than the other. So don't be upset about the fact that you have a difficult painting in front of you. It is okay. You didn't do anything wrong. My second tip for completing difficult paintings is put it aside in a place where you see it regularly. Now, I know some people like to face a painting against the wall when it's not cooperating them and completely shut it out from view for a time. And I totally get that instinct. If that's something that you feel like you need to do for a bit, do it. But I do encourage you, if you do want to finish that painting, at some point pull it out and put it in a place where you can see it regularly. Now, that doesn't have to be in the studio. For me, the place I put the unfinished paintings that I'm a bit stuck with is my hallway. And the reason I do it is because what I actually want to do is to be able to see it on a regular basis and allow my subconscious to gauge it. So think about where might work for you to put a painting. I do understand a hallway can be a really public place. So if it's something that you don't want other people to see, maybe you can find another spot to put it. My third tip, which leads on directly from the second, is allow the painting to whisper to you. Now, what on earth do I mean by this? Well, the whole purpose of me putting this painting out in my hallway is so that as I pass the painting in my day-to-day life, I also often will see that painting from my daughter's room when I'm laying down with her in bed saying goodnight at night. I start to have flashes and glimpses of intuition about what that painting needs. And it seems to be that there's something about having the painting available to me in a space where my subconscious is free to give me insight on what is needed for the painting. And that is why it is important that you put the painting in a place where you're going to encounter it on a regular basis. So it's really just allowing space for that to occur, which leads me on directly to my tip number 4. You need to rest your conscious attention on the painting and allow your subconscious intuitive side to communicate with you about what the painting needs. Now, as an intuitive painter, I rely on the process of allowing my intuition to communicate to me about a work a lot. And it's in letting the painting just be there that I find I have the most valuable flashes of insights when I just encounter it in my daily life. And by bringing my attention to the different thoughts that I have, I begin to amass a lot of direction for what that painting needs. And sometimes it's an insight that might vary widely. I may have one insight one day, another insight another day. And my technique is to just allow that process to keep on occurring day after day until I feel like I'm having some kind of consensus between the thoughts. Which brings me to point number 5, which is to gain a consensus of internal clarity. So when I feel really confident in the consistency of the thoughts and the intuitions that I'm having about the general direction that's intuitively leading me forwards when I look at this painting, only then do I resume the painting again. Now, to be clear, I don't know every detail of what needs to happen. What I have is a general idea about certain steps that need to happen, such as calm down the background in this central area or make the paintwork of this area a bit more consistent or improve the rhythm of marks in a certain area or erase this area altogether. I can have a variety of different ideas. And you can make notes about that if you need to, and that could be very helpful for some people. I don't do that very often, but I'm sure that could definitely help. But the point is to pay attention to those thoughts that keep recurring over and over until you feel a real sense of consensus with those thoughts that are happening. Sometimes I'll have an idea that flashes in once and it never returns again. And if it doesn't come back, I'm pretty clear that that is not the direction to take it. Okay, so number 6, my tip is time. Another reason that a painting can sit for a long time is because what I'm seeing needs to be done is going to require a lot of work and a lot of time. Now, that was the case with the painting that I'm working on in the video that I have that you're viewing today. I was looking at it in my hallway, and the more I looked at it and the more I related to my insights about what it needed, it became really clear to me that what I needed to do was probably going to take a couple of weeks. So I really needed to wait until there was time and space for me to be able to actually pick up the painting and do it again, because I know that once I get going with these kinds of edits on a painting such as this, that it's very time consuming. And I need some really good stretches of sort of 3 or 4 hours at a time to really make a dent in the way that I know that I need to. And that's just something that I've learned through experience. So just be aware that that can be a factor, and that can influence how long you leave that painting there until you pick it up again. Might simply be a factor of, do I have time in my schedule to do that this week or over this fortnight? Now, tip number 7 comes once you've resumed the painting. And the thing that I think often stops us and makes us take a painting off the easel and turn it against the wall and stop thinking about it is that we're very attached to what we love about that painting. And there can be a lot of really beautiful, spontaneous moments that have happened in our paintwork or other aspects of the painting that we really love, but they're actually standing in the way of the edits that we have the intuition that we need to make to this painting. And that is where tip number 7 comes in, which is kill your darlings. Now, if you've not heard that phrase before, it's a literary term. The author William Faulkner is famous for coining the phrase, you must kill all your darlings. And what he's talking about is you always have to let go of things that you love about a work of art in order to bring to fruition a greater vision. Well, not always, but it's a useful tip in terms of painting, I think, because there are often pieces that I'm very attached to within an artwork. As I realize that I can't move forward, it's because I'm so attached to them. So something that's helped me resolve lots of paintings is just to allow myself that time and space to become less attached to those beautiful little details so that I can follow my intuition and move forward and make brave moves, which sometimes involves erasing, aka killing my darling strokes. So this piece of advice can help a lot. And often when you pick it up months or weeks or years later, it's not nearly as difficult to let go of those bits that you really liked that are holding you back from painting something that you really love. So don't be afraid to kill all your darlings. Hey guys, just popping in to remind you that all my e-courses and bundles are currently 25% off in my mid-year sale. Yep, that's all my painting as a practice courses, plus my watercolor e-course Be Like Water, and also my mini class which shows you my signature floral abstract style, Garden of Joy. Simply use the code 25OFF, that's all uppercase, at the checkout to claim your discount before it goes away on the 30th of June 2023. Okay, I'll see you over in the classroom. Tip number 8 is drink tea. Yes, it is drink tea. Step back and consider. Drink coffee, step back and consider. I prefer tea personally. Drink slow cups of a beverage while you are completing a painting. It's important to stop and step back and get a real gauge on how you're progressing with your changes. Now, this needs to happen fairly regularly just to make sure that you're keeping on track with the edits that you intended to make. And also just to be really present with the painting that's coming forward, and if in fact the changes you're making are leading it in the direction that you had a sense that it needed to go in. And yes, of course, you don't actually have to drink a cup of tea. I just have found that the duration of time it takes to make a cup of tea, to drink a cup of tea and consider, is often the perfect amount of time that I just need to step back and really take in the painting. Now, tip number 9 is take a photo. Now, another way that it makes it easier to consider if a painting is finished or not, or if it's going in the direction you like, and if you're not feeling quite sure about it, is to take a photo and see that work captured on a camera. I find that when I do that, I have a whole different perspective on the painting. Now, I don't know what it is about taking a photo of an artwork and having it converted to 2D, I don't know what it is that makes me instantly be able to see what's working and what's not working, particularly when it comes to composition, when I take a photo of my work in progress. All I know is that it works really well. So if you're really struggling and you can't quite figure it out, just take a snapshot of your painting and have a look and see if you can see something different to what you can see in person. It doesn't replace the need to actually stop and consider and look at your painting with your eyes, but having those two tools in place gives you a slightly different perspective that can be really helpful. Which leads me to point number 10, which is to take a photo in black and white. Now, one of the most common problems that happens when a painting just isn't working is that there isn't enough value contrast. Now, value is the amount of light and dark in a painting. And if there isn't enough balance between the two, or they're not appearing in a pleasing rhythm or are unbalanced in some way, then your painting will never be satisfying. And the easiest way to see what the value contrast is doing in your painting is to take a photo of it in black and white, and you'll see really clearly right away what's going on with the value and the contrast in value in your painting. So just give it a go. It's really easy to switch your smartphone onto taking black and white photos. You can just select that as an option and just see what you can see. Okay, tip number 11. I want you to pay attention to the scale and texture of the marks that you're making on your canvas. There is often a good blend of large, small, and medium marks in a good painting. And there's also a nice balance between the texture and contrast between the texture of your marks that keeps the eye really interested in a painting. So just as you want to pay attention to the how that is going with your composition and your color, the scale and texture of your marks matter. So if you're having too many of the large marks, too many of the small marks, not enough of a playful mix between the two, that can often be a problem in a painting. So just have a look and see if you've got a really good mix of those going on. Tip number 12, are your colors harmonious? Are there too few colors or too many? Often it is actually the latter. I have a really clearly defined palette usually for my paintings. And in this one here that I'm working on in this video, you can really see how I have quite a limited range of colors. Now, I think it's really important to consider early on if you need to hone your palette in a clear way. And this is probably something that's really good to consider as it's sitting quietly and you're musing on what you're going to do with this painting before you pick it up again. Have a look and see if there's a bit too much going on in there with the colors, and check in with yourself if they're harmonious. A really good tip for color harmony is that the colors that you mix from other colors that are already on your palette generally creates a more harmonious color story than those that come straight from a tube. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with painting with colors that come straight from a tube, but that is a really good tip if you're looking to create some secondary or tertiary colors from colors that you already have on your palette. So just have a look and ask yourself, are the colors harmonious? Tip number 13, is this painting too busy? Now, this is a really big one for me. I am forever painting paintings with beautifully varied marks, but then I find I need to go in and kill my darlings and calm down those very busy areas to achieve more harmony and grace in the overall composition. Now, in the painting in the video, you see me carving out huge areas in this way with carefully preserved details in some of the space. So I select out areas that I need to calm down, but I will often sort of carve out little details that I want to create other details from. And in this way, the painting actually acquires more depth and interest as well. So that is always a really, really important question. Is my painting too busy? Tip number 14, remove as much as you paint. Now, I go through about 1,000 cotton buds or Q-tips, I think they're called in the US, when I'm finishing a painting. You know, those little sticks with the cotton buds on the ends that we use for makeup removal, etc. I buy so many packets of those. And as I carve out the areas that I need to calm down in my paintings, it's really easy to go into an area of the painting that I don't want to. So I use these little cotton tip sticks to remove paint, and they've become one of the most important tools in my toolbox of painting, especially at this stage of resolving a painting at the very end. So if you're working with acrylics as I do, you can wash as much of those layers of paint off as you like. And that is the beauty of working with acrylics. You can put a layer on. If you don't like it, you can literally just wet it and remove the paint. Now, this is incredibly freeing, especially if you want to try out an idea, but you're not sure at all if it will work. My only tip here is don't leave it there for long, because acrylics dry really fast and you want to be able to get it all off if it's not working for you. But if you haven't tried Q-tips or cotton buds or whatever you want to call them, I encourage you to check them out. Tip number 15, attend to the surface details. Now, finishing an artwork also requires that you attend to areas that have poorly applied paint. Now, sometimes this is because there is a looseness in your style that you work in. So if that's you, then totally ignore this piece of advice, because it's likely that that is part of the overall effect that you want to preserve in your artwork. But if it's not you, take a really good up-close look at your painting to see if you need to clean up any areas and apply more paint. For me, I like to paint right around the edges of my painting and make sure that they're neat and tidy, because some of my buyers don't frame their artworks. And sometimes this also takes time mixing up that perfect shade to match an area where the paintwork wasn't so flush. And that does take a bit of time, but in my opinion, making sure that the surface details of the painting are finished and they're not sloppy in areas where you had actually intended them to be finished is totally worth it in the end. So I encourage you to take the time because it helps to make a painting feel finished. Tip number 16, the feeling of done. Now, when people ask me how I know a painting's done, I tell them, and I'm sure it's really frustrating for them to hear this, that I have a really clear internal cue when a painting is done. I am not sure how I have acquired that internal cue, but I have this feeling that says, put the brush down now because anything more that you do is actually too much and is not what is required for this painting. So it's important for you to get in touch with the feeling of done within yourself. Now, often anything that happens after the time that I had that internal cue, if I ignore it, is a mistake and I have to remove it anyway. So get to know that internal cue of done and what that feels like for you. And unfortunately, I can't tell you how to acquire the feeling of done. It is something I believe that comes with experience. So that is why bringing mindfulness and presence to your process and your intuition and what it's telling you is so important in this process of finishing a difficult painting. The more that you do it, the more it can help. And if you're really struggling with that, then maybe try tip number 17, which is get someone else's eyes on it. Now, I do this not all the time, but often when I'm really struggling with a painting. For me, that person is my husband. I get him to come in when I feel done or I just feel stuck and I'm not 100% sure. And I always ask him to come in and tell me what he thinks it needs and if it's done. Now, often when I ask him this, he will tell me it's done and sometimes agree and sometimes I don't. But something about having his fresh eyes on it and his reflection on what he thinks it needs really helps me to confirm for myself when it is finished or also find those final details that I feel like perhaps it's missing. So getting someone else's eyes on it that you trust can be really, really helpful. Now, I just want to say here, be careful who you ask for their eyes to be on your painting. Make sure it is someone whose artistic opinion you trust and who you feel like has some idea about your creative process and respects your sensitive artist heart, because it's very easy to be shut down by people who perhaps don't feel that way about our art or have that kind of understanding. So be a little bit selective about whose eyes you get on your painting. Tip number 18, rest the painting for a day. Now, if you're feeling really stuck at any point, take a break. Repeat the first few steps if necessary and step away from it to consider again. This may just be that these are one of those paintings that take a really long time and that you need to keep putting away and coming back to. And that is okay. We all have difficult children in the studio and this might be one of them. So allowing yourself to just go through the process and put it away if it's really challenging you is often really helpful. I try to limit that a little bit because I think sometimes we can mistake resting it for actually procrastinating on it because it's difficult. So I try not to do that for too long. I try to leave the painting in the studio on the easel and I might step away and do something different in the studio, but I won't actually remove it from the easel because I want to be committed to going back to it in a day or two so that I don't lose my thread and flow completely with the painting. But if that's necessary for you and it's a real struggle, then by all means, return to the beginning of the process and start it again. Tip number 19, make sure your tools are up to it. Now, I don't know how many times that I've returned to a painting and I can't quite achieve the effect that I'm after and it takes me a little while to figure out it's because my brushes are actually quite worn out and have become quite shaggy. I am very hard on my brushes, particularly in the earlier stages of a painting, and they get a lot of wear and tear. And it has often been the case that I want to create those final finesse details with the painting and I can't quite achieve it and I can't quite figure out what I'm doing wrong. And then I look really closely at my brush and realize that it's actually quite shaggy and awful and it's time to order some new ones. So that's when I pop out to the art store and buy myself a new detail brush. I do find the detail brushes wear out far quicker than my bigger brushes that make bigger marks. I actually quite like my brushes to be shaggy and a bit damaged for my first layers of my painting with my bigger brushes, but the little ones definitely need replacing more often. Tip number 20 is drink in that complete feeling. So when you do finally get to that point where you feel the feeling of done, I want you to really feel that and I want you to really take in that you just did something really hard and you persevered and completed a really difficult artwork. And this is no small thing in your journey as an artist. I want you to feel really, really good about yourself because what you just did is one of the most difficult things for an artist to do. I don't know how many times I have heard artists complain about they just can't seem to complete a body of work, bring a body of work to completion, that they have a looming deadline and it becomes super stressful because they have a dozen paintings that are unfinished. Finishing paintings for artists is generally really hard. And I have to say that the act of being able to complete artworks, and often the best artworks, are these really difficult artworks that we've had to really wrestle with, is actually what makes you a painter. If you are wanting to be a professional artist, it is this faculty that makes you a professional artist. Because if you haven't been able to complete a painting, then you won't be able to sell a painting and you won't be able to exhibit a painting and you won't feel the confidence to be able to put together a body of work of completed paintings. So please know that this is a big deal that you completed this artwork. You've completed a difficult artwork and that you need to give yourself credit because this is a moment of enormous growth in your journey as an artist. I hope you enjoyed those tips on how to finish difficult paintings and that they're really helpful for you. Now, don't forget that you can download a PDF of all 20 tips over on my website, susannethercottstudio.com/free-resources. And also, don't forget to take advantage of my mid-year sale where I'm offering 25% off all my e-courses with the coupon code 25OFF. That ends on the 30th of June 2023, so be sure to take advantage of this great offer. There won't be another for quite some time. All right, I hope you have a great few weeks. Until next time, take exquisite care of yourself, and I'll catch you then. Bye. You can always see more of my art over at susannethercott.com. And if you're interested in learning from me or checking out the podcast notes, you can find those over on susannethercottstudio.com. I love hearing your comments and feedback, so feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you like what you're hearing, then why not snap a screenshot and share it in your Instagram stories? Be sure to tag me at susan.nethercott so I can say hi. And if you've got a great idea for a future podcast episode or know someone who you think I should interview, then pop on over to susannethercottstudio.com/podcast, hit the button in the header image to shoot me an email. Catch you next time.